We're out here having a great time, and it's a cool spot. Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial. I was talking to one of our loyal listeners about the Falcons. And, Mike, he lives on the south side, works up here, but he said he heard us we were going to be here, and he was on Peachtree Industrial. Did a quick turn, came in, and then we started talking about the Falcons. And what's interesting is, you know, I said, hey, well how are you feeling? Because he says, man, I listen to you guys every day. And he says, I appreciate, you know, you guys shooting it straight with us. But he says, I'm a real fan in the sense of I'm not going to fool myself and say, hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl, like Cowboys fans, right? We're going to win the Super Bowl. But I do think we should be better. And so that got us in this conversation, and we were just talking about all the resources that our quarterbacks have now. And I mentioned this. You know, you got five guys in the building that have called plays at some point in their NFL career. You have arguably one of the best quarterback coaches in Alex Van Pelt, well-respected around the league, and he's been with Stefanski. Obviously, Tommy Rees and Stefanski are on the same page.
Right.
You have Bill Callahan also in that mix, who's been a bunch of different places and seen a lot. I just feel like if you wanted to say, hey, we have the necessary resources to make our quarterbacks better, I was saying to our listener, Mike, I feel like that's a big difference from last year. There were times last year where we all wondered about Michael Penix, the development, the footwork, what was going on. Well, maybe he didn't have the people in the building to help him correct those things.
Like I said, it really crystallized for me that game in Berlin just because I was close enough to where – because I sit up high at Mercedes-Benz, but I was close enough to see the interaction with the coaching staff, what was going on the sideline, and to see Michael Penix Jr. come and go, get the effing play in. You know, he's screaming at Zach Robinson. And I'm like, what more evidence do you need that there's some dysfunction here in however the play's being called, and give the man the resources and the tools to do his job? I think we all realize now that Raheem, and we just talked about it with our listener here, you know, it is what it is. He didn't hire good people, and he got fired because of it. You know, and that's a him problem. Now we've got a new group, everything you just touched on. You've got probably, 150 years of NFL coaching experience on that sideline right now.
Yeah, it's good, man. So hopefully all that stuff translates. But that was kind of our conversation. We'd love to see you guys out here as well. Thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. What are you doing with that Ultra right there, man?
I just made a – so this – I had the Ultra – the Ultra Margarita, the Ultimate Margarita?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I pour the Ultra in it.
Oh, nice.
So now, because it was very strong, and I've got to make this last till 6 o'clock, and I'm like, yesterday, I don't want to overdo it, which I kind of did, and you might tell by the last hour of the program, but we had a ball, had a great time. Shout out, by the way, to Anthony, who's, in addition to working, have a real job, he's a referee. And he goes, hey, man, this is when I got to the bar. He bought me the drink.
Okay.
And Anthony left. He's already gone. He had to get to work.
Yeah, yeah,
but
he goes,
hey, tell Dukes you lay off the refs. He's a high school and does junior college refereeing.
Okay, man. Look, I respect the refs. I'm not one of those fans that, like, is always fussing at the refs. So I wasn't even that parent, man, because I know it's a tough, hard job, Mike.
Right.
Especially when these guys are – this is their second – some guy's third job.
Right. I told Anthony, I said, yeah, but you probably don't suck, unlike those other guys. But anyway, you know, good dude, big listener, and thanks for the drink, by the way. Great margaritas here at Jimmy's Tequila and Carne.
Is the because I was looking at the menu, man. This, you see this menu? This menu reminds me of.
Yes.
Right? All these pages.
You know, what's that place we go to at MGM whenever? It's been like a minute now, but we used to go out there for the fights with Canelo. I always say go to Mayo. You know that tequila bar at MGM that had everything? These guys have everything.
Yes, I do. It was back there heading towards the arena.
Yeah, remember right on your way to MGM.
Yep.
But I'm the thinking, arena.
I'm thinking about what's the restaurant, Mike? We always talk about the menu, and it's like there's so much. Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, Cheesecake Factory. Sorry.
That's what
there's a lot
is.
Of options here.
Yeah, Jimmy's got a bunch of options, man. Some good food.
I'm going to get some carne asada tacos.
Ooh.
That's for me.
It sounds good.
You want to split some?
It sounds good, man.
Do a surf and turf. Get some shrimp tacos going.
They got everything here, man. They got steaks. I mean, seriously.
I mean, carne, for those, again, I should have took Spanish in high school. Mom made me take French. It's like, stupid.
Yeah, it's the language of the romantics.
Yeah, it is. Tu es très joli.
Hasn't French gotten you?
Yeah, it has worked out for
me.
It
That's what I was going to say. French ain't bad,
I dropped French one time on a chair. Never mind. Becky's in the car listening, judging, watching. No, she's playing golf. Probably can't hear this story.
Okay.
Dropped French on an Air Jamaica flight attendant on a trip to the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
Boom. Worked like a charm.
Hit it off.
Boom.
You speak French?
Je parle français. Ma mère est un professeur de français. J'ai étudié français pour 12 ans au lycée secondaire en New York. That's what I took high school French, 2 years. That's basically what I said. My mom taught French.
Yeah.
It's a language I love. Here's one for you kids. Use this on a date.
It's funny
do
you
people
say
still
that.
Go on dates?
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Isn't it just swipe right these days?
No, I mean, once you decide that this person's worth, like, somebody I want to meet, you
pretty
go on
simple.
A date.
There's a Police song off the album Ghost in the Machine. It's called Je très femme de toi toujours. I'm always hungry for you. It's a great rap, great line. Yeah. Je très faim de toi toujours.
So it's
I'm always hungry for you.
I was just thinking, you said you took 2 years.
Yeah.
Trends on her 7th year French. And not because she wanted to.
Right.
She was ready to be done. And then she got to college and they were like, you need a 3 semesters of 3? I just took 4 in high school.
No. I mean, she got to keep doing it?
So she's done now.
How many more verbs can you conjugate?
No, she's done. But sometimes I walk into a room and she's speaking in tongues in French. I'm like, what's going on in here? You know what I mean? She's like, that's 7 years of French.
Oh,
I'm like, you need to go to
by
France.
By the way, I always tell Carl, we talk about this. If you travel, south of France is different than the north of France. But, I mean, if you make an effort, you know, just like if you know, we come here, everyone makes an effort to speak English,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
So if you go to France, if you make an effort, the people are just like here. Yes, there are some jerks, but like there's jerks in New York City. But I've always had a good time in Paris. If you make the effort, they'll jump right in. You speak a little French, next thing you know, they'll speak English.
Yeah, everybody spoke English when we were over there. It was not a problem. But no, man, that's that. I'm just shocked that because you have picked it up as well. But I didn't know your mom taught.
My mom taught language.
Because when she first started, she was like, I can't do this, Dad. This is I can't learn this language. And I was like, well, then she got in 2 years, and it was like you couldn't get out. She needed the extra credit.
More French.
So then she had to, yeah, and so she had to take it. Now she understands it, speaks it. It's great.
Tout le monde.
But I'm like, when are you going to use it, though?
That's just it. I mean, I use it in France or if I have a Haitian cab driver. The other thing is Spanish. So I'm sorry, Dede. It's when I use it. But Spanish, I've spent a lot of time with, you know, down in South America and Central America, and I speak like 10 words of Spanish. But I get by.
Yeah.
You know, the joke is the same thing. Make them laugh. I always go, ¿Dónde está casa de pipí? And they go, what? I go, el baño? They laugh. So where's the house of pee-pee? And that breaks the ice. Stupid, but it gets going. ¿Dónde está aeropuerto? Chica linda.
Yeah.
Ay, papi, ay. There's basic words you need to know.
But I would say they're very similar. If you go to Mexico, any Spanish-speaking country, if they have or know some English, they're going to speak some English with you as well.
You're at the resort. You're going to be all right.
Correct. Yeah.
You ever watch Zoom when you were a kid?
Who?
Zoom, the TV show. I'm dating myself. There was Sesame Street, and as you got to be a teenager, there was Zoom.
I don't remember Zoom.
Okay,
no.
Zoom was on public broadcasting.
Okay.
And they had this ob language. You put an OB or an AB sound in front of every vowel. So Carl is Cobberl, and Michael's Mabaikubble. And it gets you to think in another way of processing a language. And my mom and I used to speak it. So you'd be at the supermarket, there's a big fat person. Mom goes, look, big fat person. And it's So I'm just saying. By the way, somebody hit me up at Mike Bell ATL.
We call that pig Latin.
Yeah, well, it's not out of A, but I'm saying. But Bob was away, like, so Day-Day is Debbie.
Yeah, that ain't nothing but some pig.
You know what? All right. Well, can you speak it? Give me some Bob, baby. Say, I like the Falcons. I like the football Falcons. It just gets you thinking in another way. So you process quickly.
I was not familiar with that. The pig Latin I'm familiar with, but I was not familiar with that.
All right. Am I the only guy in Atlanta who spoke Ob? Somebody will hit us up. It was on Zoom.
That's interesting.
And again, I'm dating myself. There was a thing called, never mind. I give up.
No, man. And by the way, we were talking about this because Mike was talking about France and we're drinking.
Trinity's on 7 years of French.
Oh, yeah. She's done now.
Wow. I mean,
they should give her a certificate with all that damn French she took.
All you need to know for guys, tu es très belle et très jolie. You're beautiful. You're pretty.
And that works?
That's it. Drop it.
Boom.
Make it work. Trusty, our buddy who's a big Saints fan, Saints are in Paris this year as part of the international game.
Yes, they are.
And so I was giving him a tutorial when we were up there in Indy.
Yeah, look, basics, as Mike said, and then go from there. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We got a few things we do need to talk about. One of them, Mike, is does it matter what happens in this next game in the NBA Finals? Because everybody just feels like this is the Knicks thing to win. I want you to hear Mike Brown talk about OG Anunoby's shot being one of the most iconic shots in New York basketball history.
Unbelievable. You know, tip, how he had to control it and tip it in from. I mean, like I said, you know, that has to be the most iconic shot in the history of New York basketball. I mean, I'm not you guys. You guys know better than me. But it was just unbelievable.
Tomorrow night, 8:30 in San Antonio, even if the Spurs are able to find a way to win, you still got to go back to the Garden for Game 6. And I just don't think they make it out of there. I don't think they make it out of
there. Look, if the Knicks go on to win this, yes, there's a statue right there. Or, I mean, that'll be an oil painting, or you can get that thing framed. I would think in New York, it's not a specific shots from the 69 or 73 championship run. It was the Willis Reed moment, freaking out the Lakers, when Willis Reed comes out on one good knee And that's New York Knicks mythology. You know, you and I have talked about that. My dad used to invoke that you couldn't take a sick day because Willis Reed didn't take a day off. But Pearl and Clyde, I mean, there were so many moments. Bernard King, you know, but no, nothing like that. That's, as we always say, the transformative moment. If they go on to win, it's like a lot like the 86 Mets, Carl. They're, you know, there's dramatic moments in that World Series run. There's been dramatic moments in this series.
Yeah, there really has. Can I hear Wimby talk about how this is going to go in his head?
What's going through my mind right now, I think it's going to go one of two ways. One of two ways. And a bad one and a good one. And I know the bad one would be giving up. The good one would be getting stronger through this, getting more together. And I know this is what we're going to do.
We will see what happens tomorrow.
You think you bounce back in that, or is that just something that they're such a young team? We know they're talented, Carl. We know they're athletic, but they don't have an OG. They don't have, like, who was it that got all those rings? It was Robert. Oh God, I'm going brain dead again.
Who, Robert Horry?
Robert Horry. There's always an OG on, like, those Spurs teams. Or even, like, a Draymond or a tough, or, like, in the old days, what they need is, like, a Charles Oakley type on that team to protect Wemby.
Yeah,
and maybe in next year's version they'll have that type of guy.
I don't know if they recover, Mike. If they're too dumb, and I mean this in a positive way, we're so young and we are so naive that we don't even understand how devastating this is supposed to be, and you just come out and play your butts off like they did, then they win the next game. But I don't think that's the case.
Who's the veteran coach on that staff, though, who didn't
– Pop.
But I'm saying, it's like, who's telling – the players stop shooting threes with 10 seconds left on the 24-second clock.
Well,
I mean, you did the dumbest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, look, I think Pop was probably in that film session, as he's been in a bunch of these film sessions, and probably said exactly what you just said. But I don't know if they are that naive, not dumb, but naive to think they shouldn't come out and respond. Or it's completely in their head, and they're like, we were up 30 on these dudes and blew it, and that's all you're thinking about, so you just don't get into a rhythm tomorrow night, and the Knicks end up
Have
winning.
You seen – I was saving it for Guy Talk. I'll just mention it briefly. Have you seen how many Knicks fans are getting access to tickets?
Oh, man.
Down there at the Frost Arena?
Yeah, they're going crazy because they think they're about to win
There may be 5 to 7, maybe more, 1,000 Knicks fans in San Antonio on Saturday night.
Yeah, which is bananas. Hey, real quick, last night, Mike, did you watch it? Hurricanes –
yeah.
Man, Vegas,
it's a wrap.
You think it's done?
I think Kane's got this.
4-2, they win last night. Can I hear the final call?
And this one is over. We don't get the official horn. Now we do. Carolina, 4-2 winners in game 5. They take a 3-2 series lead. And we will talk to you in Sin City. I know they like gold out there, but a big piece of silver is waiting for Carolina.
Yeah, baby, it's about 37 pounds. That's the Stanley Cup, and I think they're going to get it. Man, it's a great series. The goaltending has been so up and down, and they've had to juggle goaltenders for the Canes. But last night, and by the way, Sean McDonough, as much as I give him hell, he does a hell of a job. He does. And Ray Ferraro, former Thrasher, it's a really good vibe, and I think the Canes wrap it up. I think the Canes have a party in Vegas, brother.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Joe Patrick. I know Big Bo, we're running late. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial. Come on and hang out with your boys!